Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I am so excited for y'all to get to meet my sweet friend today, Laura. Yay!
Hey!
I'm so glad you said yes to doing this. This is, y'all, this is Laura Romans. She is actually my hairdresser. And you do a great job, in my opinion.
And your hair looks great today.
Hey, thanks. Listen, no pressure fixing your hair the morning you're coming to do it with the woman who does it for you. She does a wonderful job. You and your sweet friend, Sandra, own Tease Me Hair Salon in Pearland, which I heard about from Tamara, who told me years ago when I started working here, she was like, she's the best. You need to go there. And then I've been coming ever since. But lots of Sagemont ladies come in to tease me. I see somebody I know every time I go, which is always funny because usually I see someone I know when I have like 50 billion foils in my hair and you're like, it's me. You can't really see me under here, but it's so fun.
Yes, it is.
Y'all do a really good job. And then also in your shop, Morgan Ehrlichboss, who is one of our lovely Sagewanners, works there now. I think I was there the day she came in to either interview or like practice or something.
To interview.
Okay, interview. And I adore that girl.
And you gave us a thumbs up.
I did. I was like, y'all are going to love her. And she does such a good job.
She does.
She's so good.
She's been with us 5 years.
Which is wild. Love Morgan. Love Morgan. She's amazing. She's really great. But you and Sandra have been together since the beginning.
37 years we've worked together.
37 years. And so did y'all work for a different salon?
When we first started off, I was working somewhere else and she came to work.
Okay.
And that's how we met and we hit it off. And then we've been working together ever since.
That's so amazing. Now, y'all had a shop. Was it called Tease Me when it was here?
On Scarsdale?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so same name.
Yes, we just moved it to Pearland.
How long were y'all at the Scarsdale location?
Well, we've only worked on Scarsdale until we moved 13 years ago to Pearland.
Okay.
But we worked at two other shops, and then we opened Tease Me.
Okay.
And then we were there for 10 years, and then 13 years ago, we moved the shop to Pearland.
To the Pearland location. That is so amazing.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked Laura to come, because Laura is not a Sagemonter. Y'all go to Grace across the street, which we get to talk about all the time, which is fun. But the reason I asked Laura to come is last time I was in there, and this happens often, but it just hit me last time I was there. There was a sweet woman who had come in, and you were telling a little bit of her story that she had a brain tumor, and she had passed out on her bathroom floor and called you. Because she said, Laura would tell me what to do. She knew you would tell her. And I was just like, that's amazing. The relationships you've built with people through the years. And the other thing you said to me was you never know what you're going to get when someone comes and sits in your chair. We could be laughing and having a blast, or we could be in tears and I could be praying for them before they leave. How do you hold that? Because you're in there all day long. For years, and that's probably been a lot of it. How do you hold both of those?
You know, I know it's my background because my parents raised us, you know, to know the Lord. I was raised in a Christian home, thank God. And as you know, my mom recently passed away. And I am now even more thankful that the Lord let me be born to good parents.
Amen.
And I realized that at the shop. Every day it's different stories, and I am so thankful and grateful for the parents that the Lord let me be born to.
Yeah.
Because, not just because they were good people and good parents, but they love the Lord, and they raised us up to always rely on God.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're a baby Christian, and somehow when you're raised in church, you stay a baby Christian sometimes for a long time.
You do.
And then we take God for granted, and then we have God in the box for a long time, and then one day the light bulb turns on.
Yeah.
And it's not that we haven't had God all along. It's just that you just know that God's always there.
Right.
He's always right there beside you. But then you always, all of a sudden, you just realize, oh my goodness, I'm here to make a difference, and I'm here to share God. And there's no more, I'm embarrassed, or what if people say, or what if somebody leaves the shop? That doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And so now, every day, Sandra and I pray before every day. We've been doing that for a long time, but really even more so the last few years, and we ask God to use us now to really make a difference and for us to work for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And though we adore and love doing hair, but our prayer and our time with God is more important than hair, and now hair is second, even though it's really first, but not really.
Yeah.
It's not really, not to us anymore. And it just doesn't matter if people don't like that we're praying out loud for somebody, because people really need God.
Absolutely.
And they're crying. Even the people that you would never think would ask you for prayer, but they're the ones always calling, hey, can y'all pray for me? Can you pray for me? And what an honor. What an honor that they asked that, and what an honor that we could do that.
Yeah.
That we have our own business and we don't have to answer to anybody to say, hey, sorry, we need some prayer time here. We just stop and do it.
And I think it's so cool because you have every single day women and men that walk into your shop that would never walk into a church.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been in the store, in the shop, when Jesus isn't talked about. Mm-hmm. Someone isn't encouraged by scripture. I mean, we're talking about scripture. Somebody's not, we're not praying for somebody, you know, when they walk in or when they walk out of their hugs. I mean, it is this environment. And for some people, that's the only place they see that.
Yeah.
And y'all getting to do that. And it is a choice, right? Because lots of people own their own businesses and that's not what it is. And as you've walked through your life, you've been through lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Was there specific things that made you realize more who God was? He wasn't just the guy that was always with you.
Yes, of course. You know, 13 years ago, I lost my husband suddenly, and I had these two kids that I had to raise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was huge. And even though I was so... you would get angry. You know those stages that you go through and you get angry. And one day my mom and sister just saw me. I was like a little two-year-old jumping up and down. Why did God choose me for this? I'm not prepared for this. But I saw what God did. I already knew what God did because the reason my parents got saved is because my sister had cancer when she was 8 years old, and someone witnessed to my parents at MD Anderson.
Wow.
And in 1968, and that's when my father got on the knees right there at MD Anderson and accepted Jesus. And that's what made a difference. So I already had seen a miracle, what God could do. He gave my sister life. He chose to keep her alive. And for many, many years, way more than she should have. But then now I'm walking. We walked through the journey with her, but now it's me.
Right.
Right. And so I just like, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay the bills? Even though I worked.
Yeah.
But there was a second income missing. And all I could think about, my son was 16, is, oh, I have college. I have a car to buy. What am I going to do? Well, the Lord helped me.
Yeah.
I just said, God, I can't do it. I can't do it, but I don't know why you chose me for this. I'm not happy that you chose me for this.
Right.
I don't like that you chose me for this. I mean, I flat out told God, and I would go through those ups and downs. And then my son and my daughter would just say, why did God choose us for this?
Yeah.
You've taught us to honor God, to tithe, to go to church, and that's what we do, and yet God punished us. And I go, no, he didn't. He did not. And Sandra actually said, do not say, I don't know why God chose us for this. You're going to say, together with God, we're going to walk and we're going to make it. With God, we're going to make it.
Right.
So God proved to me it was time to buy a car. I don't even know how it happened. I do know because of God, but I don't know. And then there we are at college.
Yep.
And the Aggie had to go to Aggieland.
Which we all understand.
Yes. My son had to go to A&M because that's what his dad wanted. I didn't know how I was going to do it.
Yeah.
But listen, somehow I always honored God with my tithing. My parents always have taught us that. No matter what, honor the Lord, he'll honor you back. Wow, has God ever showed me that.
Yeah.
And in the Bible, it says he is my husband, he is there to take care of me because I'm a widow and my oil will not run dry. But I have to do my part in honoring God and being an example to my kids. And God definitely helped me. I didn't have any bills to pay for. I mean, I had to pay college, but we didn't have to get student loans.
Right.
I still don't even know how that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. And then 4 years later, my daughter is going to U of H and the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course I had to fill out scholarships and grants and stuff. But I had to do my part. But God came through over and over and over and over. And then she needed a car also, because, you know, the kid and the parent thing. But listen, God always has never failed me. Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever failed me. And that's the one lesson I said. We don't know how we're going to do it, but with God, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
He's always going to come through. And then, you know, a lot of you know that 2 years after my husband died, my daughter had a severe brain injury. She fell off of a golf cart. And there I found myself again in a hospital room with a child in a coma, not knowing if she was going to live or die. And my son came to me and he said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You're not working. We have her here. How are we going to pay the bills? What's going to happen?" And I said, "I don't know, but God knows." I said, "Don't worry about that junk.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that junk. The little girl sitting in the coma is more important that we pray for her and know that God's going to heal her." And so I just said, "Remember, God's brought us this far. He's not going to leave us."
Yeah.
And once again, God showed up. And she's the one that's a teacher now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your kids are doing amazing. They're grown. You have two grandbabies now. Son is married with two grandbabies. Your daughter's teaching in Pearland. I mean, you really now are getting to see not only how God has sustained you, but how God has shown up in their lives, and that they've gotten to see that.
Yeah.
And getting to see the blessing of that. You talk, and I know this isn't the case, but you talk as if this was easy.
Oh,
right. I mean, it's not even easy now.
Yeah.
But I think so often people go, "Well, it's so easy to go, well, just trust God. He's going to show up." Was it just a daily choice that you had to say, "I trust you even when it doesn't feel like I should"? Or how did you process that?
I don't even know. Yeah. I just know that I do know. It was people praying for me. It was people praying for me. And one of the main things that I did learn, you know how people call and say, "Hey, can you pray for me? Because I'm going to have surgery tonight." And you go, "Yeah." And you get your little notepad and you write your name. And then later on at night, if you remember, you'll pray for them. So the Lord taught me. And Sandra, actually, it was so crazy. The light bulb turned on at the same time, especially when my daughter had her accident. I need prayer now.
Right now.
Not tonight. Not tomorrow, in case you remember in the middle of the night.
Right.
I need it now.
Just stop
and that was a huge thing.
I love that.
And especially when somebody comes into your mind, as everybody's always told you, the reason somebody keeps coming into your mind is because God, the Holy Spirit, is telling you, you need to pray for them. They need prayer. Send them a text. Just check on them.
Do it.
But that was a huge lesson. And so that's one of the things that we've learned. When people are crying in the chair, you're not going to say, "I'm going to pray for you tonight." They need your prayer right there and then.
Yeah.
So that's been a big lesson. It doesn't matter that somebody's waiting. It's okay. God will extend our time.
100%.
They need prayer right there and then.
Yeah.
So I think it was just, people praying for me.
Yeah.
And my kids and my journey and me saying, "God, help me. I can't, but you can."
Right.
And my parents constantly. And one thing that I do know, and you know this as you get older, when I was in turmoil or I just didn't know what I was going to do, when the son's transmission broke between here and A&M, College Station, I would run to my parents. And my dad would say, "Calm down. Let's pray."
Yeah.
And my mom would start flipping through the Bible, finding verses. And my dad would tell her to settle down. We need to pray. And God was going to make a way.
Yeah.
And I really realized how much I ran to my parents, even as a 40-something-year-old woman, as a 50-something-year-old woman, running to my parents' house for prayer. Mm. And I thought, I want my kids to run to my house for prayer one time. And one thing that the Lord really, really, really taught me is the responsibility that we have as parents.
Yeah.
When we choose to bring kids into this world, the responsibility that we have, not just to be an example for every little thing, but to pray and they have to see you. And we have their gifts from the Lord. They really are gifts, but we have to take care of that gift. And we have to lead by example and really, really do it because they're watching you.
Yeah.
They're watching how you react to death, to accidents to life to when the car breaks down on the freeway. Do you just jump off the car and start cussing, or what do you do? Or you say, hey, calm down when somebody's in the hospital? Because then eventually my sister did pass away, and my mom and dad both have passed away. And so how do you react to that?
Right.
Yeah. Do you blame God? Do you scream or what? Or say, you know what? Thank God we have Jesus and we're leaning on him and he's going to help us and direct us.
Yeah. And I love that if somebody who grew up and says, I didn't grow up with a Christian parents, I didn't have parents that would pray for me, and now I'm a parent, man, now's your opportunity to get to do the thing that maybe you didn't have.
Yes.
And to have the relationship with your kids where you are, hey, I'm praying for you. And not just saying, hey, I'm going to pray for you, but like, hey, before we hang up, like, I'm actually going to pray right now. Mm-hmm. And taking the time to do that and being that example for them, I think is so good. I recently heard something. It was talking about the verse in scripture, and I'm not going to remember where it is, that talks about, you know, we mourn with those who mourn and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And the way this person was talking about that scripture was that when we are going through a season of mourning, sometimes you have to rejoice with people that are rejoicing. Mm-hmm. It might not be your thing that you're rejoicing about, but as you're mourning, to have to be able to step back and go, but I'm going to celebrate with you. And that that brings some relief to the heaviness of mourning. And I would think that for you in your what you do on a day to day, you're doing that. If you're mourning with those who mourn, you're rejoicing with those who rejoice. And I know there's been times when I've come in and been frustrated about something or exhausted from something, and I might not be rejoicing about my situation, but I'm rejoicing because you have a new grandbaby, or somebody next to me is excited about something, or, hey, this person, we're celebrating, they're doing a thing. And being able to rejoice with other people, even if it's not mine. And for you, any given day when you walk into your shop, do you feel like you have to lay... Is it a blessing to lay your stuff aside for a little while and focus on other people?
I would say yes, but I think also the Lord has shown me that every little thing that we go through is for a reason.
Yeah.
Not just to honor him at the end of that season that you went through, but to help others. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like, and I've learned this too, there's nothing like you sharing what you've gone through with somebody. Like, for instance, if somebody lost a husband or their child is sick and or whatever it is, and then they really kind of open up and they know that you know how they feel.
Yeah.
And and sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter. Your junk doesn't matter. I've learned that too. My junk doesn't matter. It's about the person sitting in the chair and what they're going through, whether it's even their knee that hurts. Or I had a lady last week and she had some brace on and she was just in pain. And I go, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. That day, I was like, I'm ready for lunch.
Right.
And
yes.
But I kept hearing that whisper, pray for her, pray for her, pray for her. I said, girl, listen, I got to pray right now before you go. And that's God, right? We have to learn to listen to the voice of God.
Yes.
Right? Because sometimes that voice of the lunch is ready.
That's right. Sorry. Our stomach can get loud. Yes.
And so, yeah, that is a huge thing. And when we walk in every day, this is from my mom, I come in the name of the Lord. And we pray over every chair before anyone sits there.
Yeah.
And so for God to put our junk aside and let us listen and really listen to other people and their needs. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're really going to make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I also love you and Sandra are very vulnerable about what you're walking through, what the Lord is teaching you, all of that. But I also love there's been times in there where the women that are sitting in the chairs are the ones that are encouraging y'all, speaking truth to y'all. And it's that both ways for y'all to be able to be in a spot to go, no, I needed to hear that.
Yes.
Today. This person came in to be a blessing to me today and getting to see that.
And it happens all the time, especially with the older women, because they've already walked through life's journeys. They're way ahead of us.
Yeah.
They're way ahead of us. And we do service a lot of older women because we've all grown up together.
Right.
I mean, we've been doing here since we were 18. So the same group of ladies that were with us then, they're a lot older.
Right.
And they've taught us so many lessons, even just life's lessons, like, bathing a baby at night, or girls, let me help y'all do this.
Right.
Or let me, whatever it is, you know, with cleaning the house or whatever, but then with our Christian walk mm-hmm. and life's lessons, and they'll turn around and pray for us.
Yeah.
And show us yes. and help us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. I love it so much. And it really is, because I was in November, I think I was there the Friday, mm-hmm. Friday maybe. Mm-hmm. Was it the day your mother passed away?
Yes.
So, I mean, you were there doing my hair.
Yes.
On Friday morning, and you knew she was on hospice, mm-hmm. but y'all were in this process. And being able to be in that space, and I think you were washing out my hair when one of your nieces called. And so you were fielding phone calls from family that were in different stages of grief and hurt and all of that. And watching you that day, and then later on realizing she had passed away and y'all were getting ready to do the funeral and stuff. It's one of those where watching you go, okay, that's not Laura. That's your relationship with the Lord just pouring out of you when you're getting squeezed and getting to see that. But you've been so purposeful so that when you do walk through those situations, you are an example. Even though I'm sure in the moment, you might not even remember that day.
I do.
It was
my little niece. Well, my nieces are now 40, right. 38, 39, 40, but they're my little nieces.
Yeah.
And so their mom is the one who passed away and is with the Lord. But I'm like their mama.
Yep.
And so she just called to vent and stuff. And I am so thankful that the Lord is using me to yeah. help my nieces and nephews. And I'm a mom to many, not just my two.
You are.
And, you know, because when you have God and you know that your loved ones, thank God our whole family is saved. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most of them. And I knew whether it was going to be that day that my mom passed or the next day or whatever God had for us, it was really hard to see your mother like that. But yeah. at the same time, we're begging God, take her, God, so she can be made whole.
Right.
And you have that peace and that joy that the Lord says you have, because you know once they go with them, whenever it was mm-hmm. going to be, she is going to be with God. And that, man, we talk about that all the time, and you yeah. hear that all the time. You need to tell your loved ones about God, because one day we're all going to die.
Right.
But when it comes to you and you're actually experiencing that, one day I walked into the hospital, and when I saw my mom, I just cried out and said, God, take her right now. Don't let her suffer anymore. Yeah. This is horrible. This is horrible. And I can say that because I knew that the minute he would take her, she's going to be made right. whole with God.
Yeah.
And that you have... You rejoice in that, even right. though it's painful.
It's hard for us here.
Yes.
Yes.
But you're still happy. I don't know that happy is the word. You have that joy of the Lord because you know that she's going to be with God
right.
made whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yes. And then, you know, as the older person to the nieces and the kids, you have to calm them down.
Yeah.
And that day my son had called. I don't know if he had called yet mm-hmm. while you were there, but he was with my mom, and he yep. said, I can't stand to see Grandma like this. Right. I wish Grandma would... God would just take her right now. And I said, calm down,
yeah.
calm down. God has his timing. Let me pray with you on the phone. And I think life's lessons just help you to
yeah.
be calm
yeah.
and pray. And then you may cry later on in the shower. You may
Absolutely.
Cry in the closet. We got
yes.
the closet that we cry in
yes.
or whatever. And it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's somehow... The older we are, the more we have to uphold our family
right. yeah.
in prayer
yeah,
and
sure.
be the voice
mm-hmm.
of reason and calm down.
Yeah.
And it's just because of God, because
yeah.
I can't do all that on my own.
I love so much that you have this relationship with the Lord where you have gotten to a place where you're like, he can handle me yelling at him.
Mm-hmm.
He can handle all of my emotions and all of the things. And I don't have to be like, oh gosh, I shouldn't say that, or he can handle that. And I think so many people struggle with being honest with the Lord, which is such a contradiction of statement, because he knows our hearts, even if we don't say it.
What he wants is for you to tell him. He already knows it.
Yeah.
But if you don't ask, you won't receive. And if you don't say, listen, God, I'm mad at you, or I don't know how you expect me to get through this, or how am I going to make it? What do you want from me? Show me. Be clear to me. Give it to me. I don't know how you're going to do it.
Right.
But you have to just tell God.
Yeah.
You really do. You know, like I had told him many, many years ago, I don't like that you chose me for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next trial came. It's like, again, why are you choosing this for me? And then somewhere in between my son graduating college and stuff, my son suddenly started having seizures out of the blue. And it was, again? And I actually had someone told me, and I was just kind of mortified. I still am when I think about it. What have you done in your life so bad that God keeps doing things to you?
Oh.
And I didn't even know how to answer them. And actually, the tears came to my eyes. I was working, and I had to, go. I said, I'll be right back. And you had to control yourself because you really want to say, exit, please.
Yes.
But you don't. And you just say, God, help me. And then later on, you cry. And it's not what you have done. It has nothing to do with that, because we all have to walk through a seasons of life that we don't like and hard trials. And, you know, God showed me tons of that. I used to overreact whenever this would happen to my son, and we still don't even know why.
Right.
But we claimed him healed, that's for sure. And I would go, I gotta get to him. And I was like, my daughter was in the car, and I would start screaming, oh, God, move out of the car. God, let me get there. And then I had to settle down. My daughter said, Mom, you need to calm down. I go, how do you want me to calm down? This is your brother. And, you know, I don't know how long it took me, but it was my mom and dad who said, settle down.
Yeah.
Settle down. And then one day when I was by myself with God, I said, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to show me? Because I was real quick to spit up in God's face all that I am. And I was yelling one day in my parents' house, and my brother was there. My brother says, it's going to be okay. I go, you think it's going to be okay? Did you lose your spouse? Did your daughter have a brain injury?
Yeah.
Did you, you know, do you go to church? I don't even drink. I don't even do nothing crazy. I just go to church and I honor God. And I was spitting everything back up of me and how good I am.
Mm.
Or why is this happening to me? Why has God chosen this for me when I'm not a bad person? And so when I went home and I jumped in the bed and I sobbed and sobbed, and I finally said, God, what do you want from me? Mm-hmm. What is it? And just like that, when the eyes are like bugs, the Lord said, I just want you to keep your eyes on me and not on the problem. And it's like all of a sudden I sat up in bed and I was like, oh my gosh, that's all God wants from me.
Yeah.
And then that I just remember that. And that was like huge. Okay, God, I'm sorry. Then I have to repent and apologize to my brother and to my mom and dad because I went haywire.
Right.
And then more than anything, ask for God's forgiveness for me trying to throw up everything in his face, because he's still been good and merciful to me, even though I'm in another journey and another trial, you know, in my life. What does God want from me?
Yeah.
To keep my eyes on him.
Yep.
And somehow, some way, he's going to work it out.
That's right.
That no matter what it is, no matter if it's your 10th trial, your first trial, whatever, God's going to work it out and he's going to make a way for you.
I love that. We so often build the character of God based on our circumstances, and it's the complete opposite of that. The character of God has nothing to do with our circumstances.
Yes.
He is who he is.
Yeah.
No matter what. He is good.
Yes.
And it's hard for us to get our minds around how he is good and we go through hard things.
Yes.
But his character doesn't change. And so focusing on him, that's a beautiful thing to just stop and go. When you're in those moments, who is God?
Mm-hmm.
What's your foundation? What do you believe? And I love that.
And what do you want from me? Like, you're like, hello, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Like, how much more do you think I can handle?
I know.
You know, but he'll give, you know, don't ask that.
He shows up. He shows up. Yeah.
Yes.
And I will say, I am sure, because I know I've talked to many women who have lost spouses or children or been through really, really difficult things. And the one thing they will look at me and say, the things people say.
Mm-hmm.
The things people say. And most of the women I talk to say, I don't think they're meaning to be unkind, But so often, and I've had to learn through the years, like if someone just lost someone, you don't stop them in the hallway on a Sunday morning and say, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Like you don't do that, mm-hmm. you know, and you're coming from the best heart yeah. and it's having to learn those things. And I'm sure, again, with the number of people that you interact with every single day, the things people have said to you, you probably could write a book. You and Sandra should write a book at some point.
You know what works a lot better. And I've learned this too, right? Well, because people said crazy things to
yeah.
me. And I will tell you one thing that I think they shouldn't do, but one thing that they should do is a touch. That
I love that
is 1,000 words. Don't even say anything.
Right.
Or just a hug.
Just a hug.
I had a lady come to the shop. I'll never forget her. She's passed away already. After my husband died, she just took my face and she just kissed me all over. And then she gave me a hug. And then she went to the shampoo bowl to get washed. And it's like, like she didn't say one word to me, but it meant a million words. Yeah. And it's huge.
Right.
And one thing I will tell people who have lost a spouse or somebody, even a child, whoever, and they have other children and they say, oh, don't worry about your kids. The children are resilient. They'll be okay. It was the worst thing that anybody could have said to my children or to me, because guess what? They're not.
Nope.
They're still children of God. They still need prayer. They still need God. They're
Absolutely.
Not resilient. They need help. And that is
because as soon as you say you're resilient, then somehow that what that's telling them is you should be able to handle this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And God never intended us to handle anything on our own.
Or the kids will be okay. Don't worry
about
them. They're going to grow up and be fine. Ooh. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not okay. It's not all right. It's not, you know, whatever. And then, you know, a couple of months go by and everybody wants to know, are you dating? Hello. It's not even about that.
Yeah.
And I don't, that's another thing that the Lord has shown me, why so many, there's so many broken homes, because people don't give themselves enough time to heal.
Mm.
And there's a lot of healing that has to happen.
Yeah.
And then you jump into another relationship or you bring somebody into your home and your kids are destroyed. You're destroyed. Your heart's not even half healed. And then you end up in a mess again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that I did ask the Lord to do. I asked him to protect my head, because then you get crazy thoughts, protect my heart, to keep my eyes on Jesus, and not to make me vulnerable to any craziness or my children.
Yeah.
Because I'm not here now to be doing crazy. I'm here to be a mom and to be an example and to raise children the best that I can with God on my side. Not to be looking for love in all the wrong places, right?
Yeah,
to be doing all that.
Yeah.
And if God wants that for you, girl, he's going to throw that over there at you. And so I think people don't give themselves, whatever your circumstance is, not enough time to heal.
Mm.
Because, man, wherever you've been, even if you went bankrupt or whatever, you have to heal from that.
Yeah.
And you have to keep your eyes on God as you walk towards your next step of life.
Right.
You have to keep your eyes on God.
Yep.
And that's been a huge lesson to me. And I see that. I've learned that at the shop. Because I've seen people, like, you just kind of go, what? You just got married. You're getting divorced?
Yeah.
How? Like, doesn't that mean anything to you? Like, God's really shown me that. Like, people get married and married and married, or they just move people in with them.
Yeah.
And then their whole home is just falling apart.
Yeah.
So I've learned a lot by watching that.
Well, and I think a huge reason people don't process through healing is because it's hard. Because you actually have to address the thing you're healing from. And so often you're just like, I just want that to be done. And I'm just going to put it over here and just
keep it going.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a healthy way of doing that.
No.
So take time. Take time to heal.
Right. And no matter what, it doesn't have to be a death.
No, whatever it is.
Right. It could be whatever. Whatever it is that you're going through.
Take time to walk through that process. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad you came and hung out today.
Thanks.
Y'all, Laura is, as you can tell, lots of wisdom, because she has walked with the Lord and she continues to choose him. And so she's such a joy to get to spend time with. And so if anything she said today, if you're like, I would love to just pick her brain a little bit more, or how did she get to that place? Reach out to me. I will connect you with Laura. She likes gringos. Take her to lunch.
Come get your hair done.
You know, whatever it may be. maybe. She really is just one of those people that I would trust her with any of my friends to say, you're walking through this, go hang out with Laura and bring Sandra.
Oh, yes.
Sandra's great too. Sandra, the two of them, they're just the best. But I really appreciate you being, again, vulnerable and willing to come and share just all the things that God's done in your life. And you really are a joy.
Aww,
you really are.
Thank you.
You really are.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
See, y'all, this is what squeezes out of her, and I adore it so much. But thanks for hanging out with us today, y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending time with us on Table Talk. Comes out Thursdays at noon. If you haven't caught the last couple, go back and catch them, and we will see you next time on Table Talk.
Thanks.